Here at the World Food Prize, I am with Ambassador Kenneth Quinn, who is in charge of this great event. And I was here last year. I was here a couple of years before that. This year seems bigger than ever, is it?
It is bigger than ever. We had more people register this year for the symposium. After it got beyond 1,200, I almost stopped counting because I wasn't sure where we were going to put folks. But that number doesn't include the 350 students and high school teachers who are here as well. So, and then we had a all-day Iowa Hunger Summit, which was another 700, another record. So more people at everything that we're doing this year.
There is so much information here. And I talked to these two ladies, one from the Netherlands, one from Canada, who had never been here before. And they said, almost overwhelmed by the amount of information. And even I can't be at everything. But you have so much to offer here, so much information.
Well, thank you. I'm so delighted to hear that. And, you know, because when I first came, the World Food Prize was a one-day event. And maybe 50 people came from outside Iowa. And now we have people from 60 or 70 countries who show up. And they're all different types of people. It's, you know, very, very diverse. We have pastoralist farmers from Tanzania and research scientists from North America and teens of agriculture from land-grant institutions and from South America. So, and young people. So this Norm Borlaug's, one of his dreams was, how can I inspire that next generation? Well, we have a dialogue next, part of our symposium for people under 40 who are doing dynamic things. We have the USDA Borlaug Fellows, the USAID Borlaug Leap Fellows, the Truth About Trade Farmers who come from around the globe. So in Beachel Borlaug Scholars. Then we have the wonderful young woman from Africa, Dr. Charity Mutegi, who was, wasn't she?
Yeah.
And she was here to receive our Norman Borlaug Award for field research and application. And then we have our Global Youth Institute and Borlaug Rouen Interns. So, you know, there's so many programs named after Norm Borlaug, and appropriately so. Appropriately so.
When did this first start?
Well, the World Food Prize started in 1986 when Norm founded it, mm-hmm. with the support of the General Foods Corporation. And then a couple of years later, there was some corporate reshuffling, and it was about to disappear. And Norm came back home to Iowa, his home state, and he met John Rouen. They're 77 years of age, and they'd become partners. And Norm's dream was he wanted it one day to be considered the Nobel Prize for Food and Agriculture. John Rouen's dream was that maybe he could make Des Moines and central Iowa the center of the world. And they hired me, and I took the job before I understood what the two goals were, because I said, oh, this would be mission impossible. And so the last 14 years, I've been endeavoring to fulfill those two dreams. And, you know, it's thanks with John Rouen's support and endowment and with Norman Borlaug's legacy, we've been able to get now so that people say it's the Nobel Prize for Food and Agriculture. And some people say it's the premier conference in the world on global agriculture and one of the most unique programs to inspire young people. So, my heavens, I'm very happy. And I think, you know, I have to report to Norm and John, even though they're no longer with us. I have two big portraits over at our Hall of Laureates, and I got to show up and go in and say, here's how it's going, Norm. Here's how it's going, John. And so far, the portraits are still smiling back at me.
Well, this year, you, the three laureates this year were all biotechnology science, agricultural biotechnology scientists, which caused a little bit of controversy with me, Occupy World Food Prize movement and things. But just tell us about the reactions that you've gotten from people and why we chose to honor the biotechnology industry this year.
Sure. Well, first of all, the winners of our prize, our laureates, are chosen by our Laureate Selection Committee, which is chaired by Dr. M.S. Swaminathan of India. And just to be clear, anyone who works in our foundation, we don't have a role in choosing the laureate because we raise money. and there would be a conflict of interest. So we have a selection committee that doesn't raise money. They're not paid by us in any way. They're just there to make the choice. And then we deliver it and tell the public about it. So I think the first of all, Norman Borlaug was a strong proponent of biotechnology, and he believed it should be recognized. And he believed that the three winners this year should be recognized. But he passed away in 2009, and now it's 2013. And the reason for a gap in there was that the committee wanted to be sure the evidence was in place, that you could be able to say that that through biotech and the things you're able to do with that in terms of enhanced crops or genetically enhanced crops, that they did indeed, the evidence was in, that they did increase the quality and the quantity of food. And so with that, the selection committee made its choice. And, you know, the prize precepts are clear. You know, you have to do something hadn't been done before, has to be a breakthrough achievement, and has to have that demonstrated impact. So I think, you know, really pretty appropriate that it would be in the year that we begin the 100th anniversary of Norman Borlaug's birth, so our Borlaug centennial, and we begin the next Borlaug century. But as much as Norm supported biotech and GMOs, the World Food Prize Borlaug Dialogue Symposium is open to all ideas. And I like to tell people, although some of my sponsors get mad at me, those who are in business to do biotech, the World Food Prize has brought more anti-GMO speakers, more critics, more supporters of agroecology to here to Iowa than any other organization. I'm certain of that. So we want ideas, because Norm said we need to let science contend. So it's been a journey for agricultural biotechnology. The three winners this year, Mark von Montagu of Belgium and Mary Dell Chilton and Robert Fraley of the United States, my goodness, what incredible scientists they were and are, for what they were able to do and discover. My heavens, it's just so impressive. And so it's highly appropriate that type of scientific breakthrough would be recognized. And in our symposium this year, we're talking about biotech, but sustainability and climate volatility. And, you know, we've gotten a lot of criticism, get a lot of mails, we get petitions. People have hostile feelings, let's be clear and honest about that. But what I would say is that given the volatile shifts in the climate, because whatever you think about climate change, there's no denying farmers one year have to confront drought. The next year it may be floods. If you're near a coast, saltwater intrusion. You've got disease, you've got pests, and particularly the poorest farmers, the smallholders, who will suffer the most, who are already having a hard time. I would say to the critics, are you really prepared to take this tool, this biotech, this genetic modification off the table completely, that it might be able to ameliorate the difficulties that these smallholder farmers and all farmers confront? To me, we should have all of them out there, have the options. Farmers, of course, should have the options to use, don't be forced to do that. But you know, there's reasonable questions about genetic modification and biotech crops, and they ought to be addressed. And that's what we endeavor to do.
All right, that was great. Now, the other thing was you had Tony Blair and Howard Buffett here yesterday, yeah. And that was great. Wow. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we were so thrilled and honored to have former Prime Minister Blair and Howard G. Buffett here. You know, Howard, I was always trying to get him to come, and he never would. He'd always tell me, I'm harvesting, I can't, it's harvest season, why don't you change your dates? And finally he said, I'm going to come. Maybe the fields were wet or something. He said, I'm going to fly in, I'm getting off, I'm going to speak for an hour, and then I'm leaving. I said, oh, it's okay, Howard, it's okay. Well, he came, And he had such an incredible time, so many people to meet. 8 hours later, he was still here. And so he's been back three times. And Howard's such a dynamic and engaging man, and is, you know, has a big heart and is out to change things, and with his 40 changes. And so here's this terrific partnership. Tony Blair's got the African Governance Initiative. He is, because one of the keys is good government, And that Howard Buffett has got the inspiration, the need with his photography. We have a terrific 40 Chances photography exhibit at our building that we just opened at our Hall of Laureates. And then Norman Borlaug's dream was bringing the Green Revolution to Africa and inspiring that next generation. And so when they we spoke and I said, oh, World Food Prize wants to be in. So here's this partnership. Tony Blair, Howard G. Buffett, his son Howard W. Buffett, and Ken Quinn and the World Food Prize. So we're thrilled to be part of this. And these 40 Chances Fellows are an opportunity for someone under the age of 40 to compete to have a fellowship in either to do an innovative entrepreneurial thing that will promote development in Rwanda, Malawi, Sierra Leone, or Liberia. And next year at the World Food Prize, we're going to introduce the four winners. They're going to get $150,000, yes, to take their idea and implement it and put it out there. So, and we'll be having running the judges panel and making the selections on this. So we're really excited. It's one more way to inspire great change to come about. So, wow, you know, sitting there seeing Tony Blair and Ritu Sharma, yes, and Howard Buffett and right. Betty Liu did a great job moderating. So I didn't want it to end, you know, so the timekeepers are down there saying time's up, and I'm going, oh, put that down, you know, we don't do that.
Well, another thing that you did this year, you live streamed for the first time, yes, and really a lot of encouragement of for the use of social media.
Yes, we did. So that's why I have people who are, you know, 30-something or 20-somethings, as they understand all that. And I know it sounds cool, and they teach me a few words to say. But this year in particular, because as you said before about the biotech, the controversy, and, you know, in the past we haven't, you know, webcast very much. And I thought, we ought to do the whole thing. There'll be plenty of people here, but it shouldn't be just a limited conversation. It should be out there available to everyone and to be able to see this and take part of it. Because I think this event, our giving the prize this year, has the potential, looking back, to be seen as a real turning point in this debate. You know, I mean, so hostile and still quite difficult between Europe and the United States. But now, developing countries are in, and at the AGRA, African Green Revolution Forum, back in the beginning of September, they issued a statement about that biotech should be there and should be available to deal with the problems they face. Prime Minister David Cameron in the UK had a very strong statement in that regard. When we did our announcement on June 19th of our laureates, Secretary of State John Kerry gave a very strong endorsement to biotechnology. So I think that this could be, when you look back, could be a real turning point that, okay, let's, you know, there may be issues, there may be things to discuss that are controversial. Absolutely. We need to always have that out there. We don't need to be blindly endorse things, but I think that maybe I have that sense that the debate's going in a way. And after all, there ought to be a way to find some common ground. That's what Norm would say. I mean, Norm could get India and Pakistan to stop shooting at each other in order to have him come and promote the agricultural model that he, proposed. And that's what it should be about.
Well, I didn't think about that, but having it open like that, having it live streamed, it really provides a lot of transparency, and it's not like for those people who just heard about the World Food Prize and honoring biotechnology, it's not like, okay, it's not like that's what this is all about. This is not just about biotechnology. It's about choices, like you said. It's about options. It's about being able to feed the world in any way we can. But the last thing I wanted to ask you about is the statue, the new statue of Norm Borlaug. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, I have to put my other hat on because the statue of Dr. Borlaug has been commissioned by the state of Iowa. The governor appointed a committee, of which I'm the chair, to select the artist and raise the money to create a statue of Norm that would be installed in the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., in Statuary Hall. You know, each state gets to put in two statues of its greatest figures. And Iowa had two very distinguished Civil War figures. And during the most heated, harsh period of recent politics, when Democrats and Republicans couldn't agree on anything in our state legislature, the Republican-led House and the Democratic-led Senate in one day passed the resolution saying Norman Borlaug statue should be in Statuary Hall. So we had 65 artists compete, and a young man from South Dakota named Benjamin Victor has just created a masterpiece. I have copies of it on my cell phone, and I'd show it to people, and they'd say, oh, that's a great photo of Norm. They thought it looked like him when he was alive. So this is so the plan is, and please let the next round of debt talks and everything not close down the government in February, because the plan is on March 25th, National Ag Day in America. The statue is going to be there, and it's going to be unveiled, and Norm Borlaug, I think the only person directly from agriculture. I mean, I know Thomas Jefferson's there, and he was a farmer, but he was a president first. The only real agricultural figure is going to be standing there amidst all of these presidents and generals and that. And so what will be interesting is that if you take all of those figures, and then you add to it all of the Nobel Peace Prize laureates, and you add up all of the lives that any of them all saved, they still won't have done as much as Norman Borlaug did by himself.
Beautiful. And maybe Norm can bring the Democrats and the Republicans together when he's up there in the Capitol.
Yeah. No, he can. He can. Because, you know, Iowa's congressional delegation is split right down the middle and pretty tough stands on both sides. And yet when the World Food Prize comes, when it's anything about Norman Borlaug, that they all show up. They're all in the same place. So to get the statue in, we have to have a letter of urging that it be done. Every member, both senators, all four representatives, they're all on it immediately. He's the one guy who can get them all in the picture. And that's, I have a picture when he got the Congressional Gold Medal. It's with President George W. Bush, Nancy Pelosi, and Harry Reid. And they're standing there, and they got their arms around each other. I mean, only Norm Borlaug could do that.
Wonderful. Well, Ken, I know you got a lot to do. Yeah. I really, really appreciate you taking time to talk to us, and congratulations on a wonderful, wonderful event this year. Here at World Food Prize, I'm Cindy Zimmerman.